Oh, don't. Anyway. Do those again.
The point is there. What?
Do that again.
What?
Do it again. No, get up and do the whole thing again. I missed it.
No, because you're going to hit record. Fuck you. What I'm trying to convey is that there are there's multiplicities of ways to defend yourself, not just your Wang Chung, Wen Chung thing. Comment. I did take Wen Chung for a week when I was a kid.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. A week.
I got good. Got good with the nunchucks.
That was enough.
Staff. That's all I needed.
That's all you need, yeah.
It's all, yeah. Then I was teaching the class. It was embarrassing, so I just left. Anyway. So, there's going to be plenty of humor tonight, yes?
Yes.
Good, because it needs it, yes. Let's tear this Bible a new one.
Welcome back to the Renaissance. My wife-stealing friend flirting with my wife on Facebook this morning, I see. What's up with that?
It's not flirting. Let me try that again. Puberty just kicked in. It's not flirting if I mean it. So
I said to Chrissy, Chrissy hadn't seen it. And I said, bloody Ray's posting photos of you and he together on Facebook. And she said, oh, my sister wife. So right? She thinks of you. Yeah.
Sister wife with a penis. Go ahead. I'm sorry. You were talking. I'm sorry.
This is the Renaissance episode 146, Leonardo episode 35, Ray.
Wow.
35 hours of Leonardo, give or take, we've done here.
And still not. Yeah. I did learn something interesting researching for this, and I'm a little surprised that you didn't tell me years ago, but whatever, that I have the work ethic of a Leonardo. Did not know that. I was surprised. You're probably surprised too.
It's the only thing you have in common with him. That and an appreciation little boys.
Two things. That's going on my resume. Anyway, you were saying.
In the year 1494, Ray, Ludovico Sforza finally achieved his lifelong dream.
Right.
And became officially the Duke of Milan with death of his nephew, Gian Galeazzo, which just goes to prove the old saying, all good things come to those who wait and who are prepared to poison their family members.
Yeah. I'll take you out.
That's always been my motto.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like all good rulers of the time, Ludo wanted to build a holy mausoleum to himself. Now, I know that you have a holy mausoleum for yourself, Ray, as all good podcast icons.
All that money.
Should have.
Yes, yes. Yes,
exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Personally, I don't plan on dying, so I don't need one. I've got
actually that works out for me.
Me not
dying.
I'm
going to have myself cremated.
Uh-huh.
You not dying. I'm going to die. Have myself cremated. Send you the ashes. I want you to smoke them. I want to be inside of you. And tell me if you get a high. I'm betting you do.
You want me to Keith Richards you? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, exactly.
You want me to go full Keith Richards?
Yes, exactly. Because that's what friends are for.
Famously smoked the ashes of his father. As a former employee of Bill Gates, I'm sure I'm on the front line for the immortality thing when he works it out. That's the real reason for the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is to assure immortality for all former Microsoft employees.
Yeah. Before you go on, I had read that the official Duke may have been poisoned, but there was also a rumor going around of incontinent coitus. Did you pick up on that?
Is that when you're shitting yourself while fucking? Is that what incontinent coitus is?
Well, it's all tied together. Basically,
what if it's non-consensual? The act. Non-consensual incontinent sex is right. That you're not asking before you fuck somebody who's shitting themselves. Right. I don't know.
Yeah.
No, there were.
Well, that's just courtesy.
There were stories that he died from some sort of sexual early transmitted disease, maybe, or just he fucked himself to death. According to Vasari, there were rumors that Sforza Ludovico poisoned him. And there were rumors that he just fucked himself to death. He was married, but he was rich and he was the official duke, but didn't want to be the duke. But we don't know.
Right.
I'm going with probably the poison thing, but we don't know.
History will probably back you up.
Oh, speaking of history backing me up, I did a live debate, a 2-hour live debate. With a guy last week for Trevor Bell on Trevor Bell's show about whether or not Jesus existed. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun. He nearly cried. he reminded me of Richard Kim, who came on our Cold War show. Because he came on to debate me. This guy had written an article basically poo-pooing the idea that Jesus never existed. And Trevor invited me on to debate this guy about his article. And about halfway through, about an hour in, he goes, I didn't know I was going to have to defend every point of my article. And I said, do you not understand the concept of a debate? That's how debates work. Yeah, you wrote it. Right. That's right, yeah. I was pointing. The reason I bring that up is I was pointing out to him that the way that I approach early Christianity is the same way as I approach all of our history shows, and that we constantly say, look, we don't know what really happened here. What we're trying to do is read between the lines based on what's been given to us, what's been handed down, what's survived, and we try and read between the lines and figure out what we think probably happened.
Exactly. Anyway, and we're honest about that. Yes.
For his mausoleum, his holy mausoleum, Ludovico chose this tiny church in the heart of Milan, the Santa Maria delle Grazie, which translates as what, Ray, from Italian?
I was going to ask you, because all I got is, thank you, St. Mary. That's all I got.
Yeah.
Grazie. So thanks for everything, Mary. Thanks for nothing, Mary. Thanks, Mary. I don't know where the emphasis should be at.
Delle Grazie would translate as of the thanks, I guess.
Sure. That's how I got it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. St. Mary of the thanks.
Of the thanks.
Sexy as hell.
Yeah. Of the thanks. So of graces. Of thanks, of graces, probably, yeah. Grazies. Thanks. Yeah. It could be graces, I guess. Graceful St. Mary. Who the fuck knows?
No one's ever used that word to describe me. Graceful. Or grateful.
And
grateful or graceful. Anyway.
He had his friend, Leonardo's friend, Donato Bramante, to reconstruct this church, put a gloss on it,
Fixer-upper, yeah.
And for the north wall of the new dining hall, or the refectory.
That's what I use all the time.
Refectory, he commissioned Leonardo to paint a Last Supper. Now, the Last Supper, obviously one of the most popular images in Christian art. They love a good Last Supper, well before Leonardo. They love a good Last Supper painting.
Yes.
And so we're going to talk a lot about the Last Supper, the painting.
Please.
Over the next few episodes, we're going to be breaking down Leonardo's Last Supper, but also the story behind the Last Supper, because that, to me, is just as fascinating. And I don't think I've ever talked about early Christianity on any of our shows, but it's never come up. But fair warning, I will be talking about it over the next few episodes.
And, yeah. And just to let you know, on an upcoming episode, I did was able to get Tom Hanks. He will be coming on the show, reprising his role in the Da Vinci Code book and giving us the real lowdown. But you go ahead with your fancy research and books and all that shit.
I thought he was going to be doing Woody from Toy Story.
Oh, no!
He's going...
Buzz!
There's a snake in my boots!
No!
Yeah. There's a betrayer at my table! So... He's going to talk like Woody, but he's going to talk about The Last Supper. It should be really interesting.
Now, Leo got off to a good start. Let me ask you this, Ray. If you were commissioned, and I have thought about this, commissioning you to paint The Last Supper. It's something I've been planning to meaning to get around to for a while.
Right.
What would be the first step? If I said, Ray, got to paint me The Last Supper, what would be the first thing that you would do?
The first thing I would do? Well, I've got to do some research. I mean, you know, give me the details. What's the deets on The Last Supper? At this point in history, I imagine a lot of people who read the Bible and they knew what the fuck they were talking about. I'd have to go back because I don't think Wikipedia had been invented yet. I'd have to go back and look at the Bible, crack up on a book or two would be my first step.
Well, again, here's the third thing that you have in common with Leonardo da Vinci. We've discovered two. Right. You're lazy.
Right.
You like young boys' buttholes.
At times.
And
at times.
You would go, of course, you would go by the Bible. Then you would need to learn how to read. So that would be the, Leonardo already knew how to read. But yeah, the first thing he did.
You left out a step. I'd have to buy special gloves because someone of my background touches a Bible, it automatically begins to burn my hands, not unlike a vampire. So gloves, then head on to the bookstore. Please continue.
Yeah. Leonardo went out and bought a Bible. We think he seems to have bought a Bible around about the same time as he was commissioned to paint this. So the two are probably connected. Now, he would have known of the story of the Last Supper.
Yeah.
I don't think he was a big Bible reader, Leonardo, but you know, there were thousands of paintings of the Last Supper. He would have known about the, he's gone to church, he's growing up around all of this. But there is a list of books in his possession. He made a note, one of his notebooks, of a list of his possessions in the mid 1490s, and one of them was the Bible. Now,
is it King James Version? No, go ahead.
Not the King James Version. He does note that around about this time, 1494, 1495, he bought a Bible. And it was probably the original Italian translation of the Bible done by Niccolò di Malermi, called the Biblia Vulgare Historiata, the Vulgate Bible, as it's referred to in English. Vulgar Bible, because it was in the popular language, the Vulgate language, the Italian language, not Latin. Di Malermi first published this in 1471, and it was available in 10 editions by the 1490s when Leonardo bought his. I downloaded one. There's a high-res digital scan of one from this period. In the Oxford Library, I think. I downloaded that and had a look through it. Beautiful woodcut illustrations all through it. It looks marvelous.
Nice.
The translation of the Bible from Latin to Italian, not very well taken by the Catholics, the Vatican, not happy about that. There was a lot of unhappiness about that, as there was when the Catholic Church did finally decide to start giving masses in English rather than in Latin in the 1960s.
I remember Vatican II or something. I can't remember.
Vatican
II. Are you telling me that the Catholic Church, and I can't wrap my head around this, is somehow against more people being able to access the good book? Because that doesn't sound right to me. They want to access your child, but they don't want you to access the book.
Yeah, I think that was part of it. It's like, oh, shit, if you let the people read it for themselves, that's
right.
Opening up
we're
such
fucked.
A big fucking can of worms here,
we're
kids.
Fucked.
Yeah, what are we going to do?
Right.
Yeah, my grandfather on my mother's side, my grandfather, who was raised a Catholic, Polish descent, Polish mother, grandmother, he apparently left the church after Vatican II. He was like, if they can just change the rules, then it's all meaningless. Yeah. If you can just change the rules that have been there for thousands of years, then it's all bullshit.
So can I ask a follow-up question? Thank you. Before he walked out of the church and he went to Mass every Sunday, and I'm legitimately asking, I guess the homily was in Latin. Was anybody understanding what the fuck the priest was saying? Or that's not the point. You just
sit there. That's why they liked it. They're like, I don't want to go to church and have to understand what they're saying.
I have to pay attention now? Who in the fuck voted for this?
When am I going
to
get in my Sunday morning nap?
Judas, is that you? I'm fucking cut you. Anyway, sorry.
And it's funny. When I was at my mother's house a few weeks ago, I found a cupboard that was full of old VHS tapes, and she doesn't even have a VHS player that works.
Oh, God, porn story. I'm tired of your porn stories, Cam.
I grabbed about 30 of these things and I brought them home with me and I've been getting them digitized. And I found one the other day. My grandparents and my dad have all been dead for 20 odd years. And I have no video of any of them. Because, you know, we didn't walk around with video cameras in the 90s, the 80s. And I found some video, and there's actually some video footage in one of these videos that I found that I think one of my uncles took. Of my grandparents at their 50th wedding anniversary. This is like late 90s. And they're at a restaurant. You would love this. Mm. My grandfather is sitting in this restaurant and he gets the napkin. You know, they have the napkins nicely folded up on the table, little spy thing. Yeah. He puts it on his head and starts singing a hymn in Latin at the top of his voice in this restaurant. He's like,
doing this.
And my grandmother's like, hitting him. Reg, cut it out. Cut it out. You're an embarrassment. He goes, it's what we learned at the Christian Brothers. So he, in his 80s, he could pull. Yeah. Right. So I was watching it going, fuck. And Fox. I didn't tell you this. You know, Fox was in the emergency room 2 weekends ago. He had a really bad stomach bug. He was throwing up all night. And the next day, it was Easter Day. We had to take him to the ER on Easter Day because he was still just throwing. You know, he threw up like eight times in 12 hours or something.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, so he's in the ER for a while, and then they move him to a private room. He was in the hospital for about 7 hours. And at the end, they said he could go. A nurse comes in to discharge him. And Chrissy and I are there. And the nurse says, a doctor comes in and she says to Fox, can you tell me your name? And he tells her your name. They want to do an identity. She said, these two people, do you know them? And he looks at us and he goes, no, I've never seen them before in my life. They just walked in here. I have no idea who they are.
Could you get them the fuck out, please? I'm starting to get nervous. Yeah. Damn, Fox, good one.
Seven. He's seven, and he's fucking with the doctor. He's going, don't know. He's in hospital. He's seven, and he's doing comedy.
Doesn't matter.
He's doing comedy. No idea who they are.
He would have hit on her. So, no, this is actually the best of two bad situations. So,
I was like, my grandfather would be proud. My grandfather never missed a chance to,
he's laughing in
be
hell
a clown
right
in
now.
Public. Yeah, exactly. Right. Keeping the bed warm for me when I get down there.
So it was a very famous,
the Bible.
It had
yes.
been done a lot. The Bible. Well, the Bible, but the last ever had been done a lot. So he would have seen some scenes.
Yeah,
some
and he pages. And he bought this. But here's the thing, which I'm going to talk about. Leonardo being Leonardo, he didn't just buy a Bible and he didn't just read the Bible, the accounts and the Gospels of the Last Supper.
Sake.
I think
prove the Bible.
Leonardo attacked these stories in the Bible like I would, whereas he was trying to read it critically, trying to figure out what's really going on, what's the real story, and this is what he tried to capture in the painting, I think. Right. Yeah, we know Leonardo, he's lazy, but when he does something, he does it fucking seriously. And he's going to do, there's been a million versions of this painted, and he's like, hold my beer. Yeah. I'm going to paint. If I'm going to do this, it's gonna going to be the definitive painting.
Balls deep.
You'll never exactly. need, no one will ever need no. to paint this, this again. This is it. This is this the is last it. Time yeah. anyone right. ever in history is going to paint this, because no one else is going to bother after I'm done.
Yeah.
And you know what?
Yeah.
He was right.
He's right.
He was right.
He painted it. Yeah. And then he dropped the paintbrush like a mic. Boom.
Yeah. Yeah.
Vinci out. Vinci out. Fuck you guys. Yeah. It's fucking brilliant, but yeah. we'll go into that. Yeah.
Vinci out. Now, we all know about the story of the Last Supper, right? Or
right.
do we? Now, it's
dinner theater.
You know, it's the eat this bread, this is my body, drink the wine, this is my blood. Yeah. That's not creepy at all. Let me read. I'm going to read from one of the accounts in the Gospels. This is the version in the book of Matthew.
All right.
Matthew 26:17-30, for those people that want to read along.
Yeah. Pull up. Exactly.
On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, "Where do you want us to make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He replied, "Go into the city to a certain man and tell him the teacher says, 'My appointed time is near. I'm going to celebrate the Passover with my disciples at your house.'"
Oh.
"Who is this certain man?" the disciples asked him. "Can you be a little bit more specific, please?"
"Please.
Do I have to fucking do everything around here?" replied the Lord. "Jesus Christ. And by the way, that's my name. Don't wear it out. Can you guys lift a fucking finger? Who are you? The Senate?" "Wow. Time of the month? Jesus?" the disciples muttered behind their backs. "You need to cut back on your daytime drinking. Like, seriously, dude."
"Yeah.
I can hear you, you know," said the Lord. "I am a fucking God."
Bionic so hearing.
The disciples did as Jesus had directed them and prepared the Passover.
Good.
When evening came, Jesus was reclining at the table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." "Well, after that temper tantrum this morning, who can fucking blame us?" they cried. "You come around here throwing your weight around like you're a fucking god or something."
Barking orders.
Yeah. But then they were very sad and began to say to him one after the other, "Surely you don't mean me, Lord." Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born." Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, "Surely you don't mean me, Rabbi." Jesus answered, "You have said so." "Well, fuck," said Judas. "Thanks for warning me. Everyone tie me up in the corner now so I can't betray the Lord," he said.
Right.
Well, not so fast," said Jesus. "That's not going to work out. I need you to betray me."
Yeah.
What the fuck?" asked all of the disciples.
What kind of
game is afoot? "Look," said Jesus, "it's a long fucking story, but if he doesn't betray me, then I won't die for your sins, and my dad is going to be royally pissed."
Right.
But aren't you your dad, Lord?" they asked, increasingly convinced the Lord was on some kind of new drug that he wasn't sharing.
Yes and no.
"Oh, don't get started on that whole 'you are your own dad' business again," said Jesus. "It's way over your head, you stupid cunts. Just stick to fishing. That's all you're good for."
And then one of them went back to, "What about tying someone up and then spanking them and then comes the oral sex?" But I think it was in a different version of the Bible. I apologize.
"Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.'" "You're giving up drinking?" they asked. "About fucking time. You need to switch to weed, man."
"Here, Jesus, I got some edibles right. Hold on. In my pocket. That's in the other pocket. Here, chew on this and just sit there for a couple of minutes and think about the universe. Stuff will come to you. It's amazing. Go ahead."
"But I know not where to score it," said the Lord. "Mary's totally fucking dry, and I don't just mean her minge." After they all laughed heartily at the Lord's sexist joke, they told him he should go see Barry, who hangs out at the Mount of Olives, where he hides his plants and gives them a group discount.
Good stuff. He's got good stuff.
When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives.
That is how I learned it. That's the story. That's exactly how I learned it in Bible school in South Carolina. Verbatim. Yeah.
Now, Robert M. Price, one of the scholars in my film, good friend of mine, points out that this story, "Eat the Bread, Drink the Wine," sounds very much like Christians might have stolen this from some pagan mystery cults.
Shock.
In ancient Rome, the goddess of the grain harvest was Ceres. It's from her that we get the word cereal.
Cereal. Mm-hmm.
Now, the Romans saw her as the counterpart to the Greek goddess Demeter, who was also the goddess of the plebs, the patron goddess of the plebs. She was basically the goddess who looked after the plebeians. In Egypt, the counterpart was the grain god Osiris. That had a couple of grain gods, but they eventually merged into Osiris when Osiris became sort of the one of the most prominent popular gods. Now, Osiris was the god of grain, the god of wine, the vine, and also the god of resurrection and the afterlife.
Oh, that's cool.
Now, one of the reasons for that is if you think about grain, you put dead grain into the ground and it grows new grain. So that's...
You're proving Jesus exists.
Am I?
That he is the Christ. I think that's what I'm getting at.
That's what about you? That's what you're taking away from this?
That's what I'm...
Interesting. Interesting. Have a look at this ink blot. What do you see here?
Jesus. I see Jesus. Praise Jesus. Sorry.
So you plant dead grain in the ground and it gets resurrected as new grains. That's sort of one of Genesis, is that the plural of Genesis? Genesis? I don't know.
It is now.
One of the basic ideas that I guess ancient people were trying to explain with their resurrection mythologies was how you can put something dead into the ground and it grows. And also, of course, the death of the sun at the winter solstice, Christmas time in the Northern Hemisphere. The sun becomes weak. In the middle of winter, it weakens during winter and everything. All the crops die and the animals hide. And then the sun god is reborn and it becomes stronger again coming out of winter and everything comes back again. So they were trying to create stories to explain that. But as I said, he's also the god of the vine. And according to Plutarch, Osiris was the first to drink wine, and he taught men how to plant the vine and how to make and preserve wine. So if you think about sort of an Egyptian/Greco-Roman, because, you know, these things ended up, there was cults of Isis and Osiris in the Roman Empire at this stage, come over from Egypt. If you think about a pagan mystery cult where they had secret rituals in caves in the middle of the night that no one was allowed to see or talk about, you can well imagine that an initiation into an Osiris cult could very well involve eat this bread, it is my body. There's actually hieroglyphs that show, well, not hieroglyphs, but art, Egyptian art, showing grain. I posted one from an old book on Facebook the other day of the dead body of Osiris lying in the ground and wheat or corn, I think, corn or wheat growing out of his body. So You could easily imagine that an initiation ceremony for one of these Osiris pagan cults would involve eating the bread. This is my body. Drink the right. wine. This is my blood, because he was also the goddess, the god of the vine.
Mm-hmm.
That would make total sense. It makes no sense at all in terms of Christianity. Eat the bread. This is my body. Drink the wine. This right. is my blood. It's like it just turns up for the first time in the letters of Paul, and he says it was passed on to him. So it sounds like something that is some form of syncretism where somebody who was putting together the early Jesus cult, one of the right. versions of it anyway, had heard of one of these Osiris yeah. ceremonies, if in fact it was an Osiris ceremony. We don't know that. The thing with mystery cults is they were a mystery. People didn't tend to write it down. A little bit leaked out via Plutarch, things like that, but mm-hmm. they didn't write it down. It was the whole point. You've got to keep it a secret, right? And I think Christianity started as a mystery cult as well, where they sort of mm-hmm. just grabbed a bunch of things from a bunch of different places and stuck it together. But then, you know, in the latter part of the first century CE, it started to leak out and get written down. But in Rome, the god of wine was Dionysus officially, mm-hmm. and Plutarch wrote that he believed Osiris and Dionysus were identical. He said that anyone familiar with the secret rituals associated with both gods would recognize obvious parallels, that their dismemberment myths and associated public symbols were additional evidence that they were the same gods worshipped by two different cultures.
Right.
For people who don't know, the Osiris myth is that he was cut apart by one of his enemies mm-hmm. and his pieces scattered, and then Isis, his wife, bride, whatever, sister wife, grabbed them all the pieces and stuck them back together and, you know, brought him back to life.
Yeah, a la Frankenstein. That works. Yeah. I was just wondering, because you and I have had plenty of conversations about the Greeks had culture and they had religion and they had literature, and then the Romans borrowed, if I may, from that. And of course, they had to tweak things to make it their own to prove that they had the superior culture. And then everybody takes from Rome. But why do you take on someone else's religion? Well, or why do you worship a god? Because one, you're trying to get their favor. You're trying to become more influential, more powerful, or whatever. And so I can see the Romans going, you know what? You Greeks had a hell of a ride and you had a awesome run there for a while. We're gonna incorporate a lot of your beliefs, and yeah, you're trying to get it right. You're trying to get access to a god, and so I'm not surprised that a lot of these stories repeat. A lot of people borrow from each other, and so it's not disrespectful to say to a Christian or to Christians in general, look, a lot of your stuff it already happened. It's been borrowed from other people. Don't get mad at me. It's just a fact that even if this stuff isn't made up, if it's all somehow 100% true, other people were doing it too with their gods. So calm the fuck down. And basically, this has been heard before. I've always found that interesting, that there's nothing, as far as I can tell, unique about Christianity.
Well, no, I think the ideas, so there are some unique ideas that ended up in Christianity. Mm. The idea of original mm-hmm. sin is unique. The idea that we should go around and destroy all other religions. That was unique to Christianity.
One. It's my favorite. Right. Because everybody else was tolerating. They're like, whatever. Yeah. You do you, I'll do me. Fuck off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least in the Roman Empire. In places like Persia, it was a little bit more limited. They had an official state religion, as we know, Mithraism. But in Roman Empire, up until the emergence of Christianity, it was very much, we don't care what you believe.
Pay your fucking bill.
As long as you sacrifice to the right, you know, state gods at the right time when we need you to, we don't care what you do in your private time.
Don't care.
Anyway, so Leo started work on the Last Supper with all of that as background, but I think that'll be something we should talk about next time, Ray.